This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Lisa Fielding, sitting in for Chris Kreidel today. We've got sunny skies, still kind of crisp out, 47 degrees. Mostly sunny, pretty windy. Hold on your hats out there. Not a good hair day with a high of 55. Tonight, clear skies, chilly, a low of 36 tomorrow. Even colder, a high in the upper 40s.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off by checking in on Wall Street. One of these days that Lisa Parenti really loves telling us how the markets are doing. What's going on?
Exactly, Cisco and Lisa. It's a nice day for a change. Stocks are in recovery mode. We've got across-the-board gains. The Dow up 405 points or 1 2/3%. The benchmark's at 25,656. The NASDAQ composite gaining more than 2% or 161 points. And the S&P on the advance by 44 or 1.5%. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index gaining 1.25%. We've got a mix of upbeat earnings reports and some positive economic indicators helping to lift investor sentiment. Industrial production rose in September for the fourth month in a row, with manufacturing fueling the 0.3% increase. Home builders are more optimistic about their business prospects. The price of lumber has been slashed, down almost 50% since May, and solid demand boosted confidence among members of the NAHB. And blue chip Walmart opened its books today to post robust sales. Shares are up more than 2%. Separately, Walmart is buying 233 megawatts of power from three wind projects in Illinois and Indiana. Back to you, Cisco and Lisa.
Thanks, Elisa. Lots to come on today's Noon Business Hour, including another chance for you to win $1,000 that comes your way at 1224. It's Travel Tuesday, how airlines are dealing with growing passengers and shrinking seats, and Walmart and Advanced Auto Parts are striking a deal.
Plus, a big day for Canada, recreational marijuana to be legal nationwide tomorrow. Coming up, a guide to pot stocks, what you need to know.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The stocks of marijuana-based businesses are a lure to investors as legalization of the drug expands. Financial opportunities are opening up. We'll cover that in our next segment. Right now, several closely watched economic reports out today, including fresh data on industrial production and job openings. We're joined to talk about it and provide some insight. Gus Fauché, chief economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Gus, let's begin. Obviously, markets doing well today after a couple of down days, some real trouble. Are you seeing anything in the wider economy that would lead us to think that we'll continue to have any struggles in the markets, or is this kind of temporary?
I think this is temporary. When I look at the economic fundamentals, whether it's the production side of the economy, whether it's the consumer side, whether it's the housing market, I think things are in good condition, and I think we will see continued economic expansion at least through the middle of 2019.
Let's talk about job openings, a record number, more than 7 million in August. Talk about that, maybe the pros and cons of the fact that there are so many job openings.
Well, certainly businesses are trying to hire and they're having difficulty in finding the workers that they need, so particularly workers with the correct skills. So we are seeing record numbers of job openings. The rate is very high. I think this is very good news for people who are currently working. It means that businesses are competing for workers. They're raising pay. We've seen that with Amazon's announcement that they're going to be raising pay for their workers to $15 an hour. So I think people are benefiting from the tight labor market. The problem is that businesses that want to increase output that have the demand there, they just can't find the workers to fulfill that, and that may constrain economic growth going forward.
Gus, you mentioned a little bit about a home building. Let's talk about the sentiment. How are folks feeling?
So we saw an increase in the National Association of Home Builders Home Builder Sentiment Index. conditions were pretty good. So sales are strong. Expectations of sales are strong. Buyer traffic was up in September. So, in October. So we see very strong demand for new homes out there. The index rose overall in October, and I think that home building will be a driver of economic growth through the rest of this year and the first part of next year as well.
And this has partly to blame lumber prices falling?
I think there are a combination of factors there, but I think it's primarily the good, solid consumer fundamentals. So, if job growth is good, wage growth is good, incomes are rising, and then if we, rents have gone up tremendously over the past few years, that's made home buying more attractive, even with higher mortgage rates. So I would expect that we would see a recovery in housing starts through the rest of this year and into 2019, and that's good news for home builders and good news for construction workers.
So it sounds like the Fed, let's talk about interest rates for a moment. It sounds like the Fed is going to continue with its plan for interest rate hikes. Talk about the delicate dance here, because the Fed doesn't want the economy to get too overheated. On the other hand, it doesn't want to put too strong of a damper on the economy.
That's right. I mean, obviously, the Fed is walking a tightrope here. As we discussed, the labor market is getting tighter. So they are concerned about the labor market overheating, stronger wage growth that leads to stronger inflation. So they're gradually raising rates every other meeting or so by about a quarter of a percentage point. On the other hand, they don't want to raise rates too quickly. That would cause consumers to pull back. It would cause businesses to pull back on investment. So they're walking a fine line. I think so far they've achieved what they're trying to achieve, which is a strong labor market, but inflation is right around 2%, which is their objective. I think we will see further gradual rate increases this year and next year, but I think so far the Fed has done a good job. Obviously, the stock market, I think that's one of the reasons why we saw the stock market pull back a little bit last week, was higher interest rates, but I don't see any indications right now that the Fed is overdoing it on the rate hikes.
When it comes to that extra money in people's pockets as wages go up, is the impact on the economy, talk about the difference in them spending that money or saving that money or paying down debt, and if we see any trends there, how that might impact the Fed.
We look at consumer balance sheets, and they're actually in pretty good shape. So consumers have been saving. The savings rate is around 7% or so, which is good. It's much higher than it was heading into the Great Recession. And then also consumer debt levels are pretty low relative to incomes. A little bit up over the past 2 years, but again, much better than they were a decade or so ago as we were heading into the Great Recession. So I think consumers are doing a good job maintaining a balance between income growth and spending growth, and I don't see any indication that consumers on net are overextended, which means that they should be able to continue to gradually increase their spending as wages go up and the number of jobs increases.
All right, Gus, thanks so much. Some good news. Gus Fauché, Chief Economist at PNC Financial Services out of Pittsburgh. Have a great day.
Coming up, taking stock of the growing business of marijuana as it becomes legal in Canada tomorrow.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The business of marijuana is expanding in Canada as the country officially makes the drug legal tomorrow. Let's get the latest from Jen Scarrett, agriculture reporter at Bloomberg News. Jen, bring us up to date. As Canada makes this legal, there's obviously going to be opportunities for people who want to invest, probably also some risks for parents trying to keep the pot away from their kids.
Absolutely. And on the investment side, we've obviously seen a lot of interest in the sector, particularly this year, just as people were looking towards legal sales actually being imminent here. So we've seen a lot of stocks just really soar in the past couple months in particular. We have companies now in Canada, pot producers that are worth over $10 billion. So it's been significant. And on the other point you mentioned with, keeping pot out of the hands of kids, that's definitely been something the government is hoping will help with reducing the black market and taking sales, just into government-regulated turf where kids won't be able to buy it.
Jen, this business is such an exploding one. Obviously, we have medical marijuana here in Illinois, and we just had a local company have $100 million in investment in expansion. Now, in Canada, let's clarify, though, it's going to be only available online, right, for a while, a soft opening, a soft launch?
A soft launch is a great way to describe it, and really it depends on where you live. So Ontario, it's not going to be available anywhere but online initially. That's Canada's biggest province. But elsewhere across the country, they're going to have like a handful of retail outlets in certain cities. Really, it was such a time crunch for a lot of companies to get, you know, wait for the Senate vote, have a few months to kind of get the locations scouted, approved, engineering plans, all that fun stuff. So initially, there was going to be a limited amount of locations, but kind of going forward, obviously, that'll increase over time.
Talk about the challenge for investors as you have some big companies people have heard of, Canopy Growth, Tilray, but you're going to have a lot of players no one's ever heard of. And this could be another dot-com bust with people investing in companies that don't end up hacking it.
You know what? It's a new industry, so no one really knows. Like, there's a lot of question marks here in terms of like what the initial demand is going to be like, where sales going to go in the next couple of months, and you know who's going to be the winners and losers, I guess you could say. And some analysts are saying it shouldn't take that long to get a better sense of who's going to really emerge as kind of sector leaders here, and there could be some failures and consolidation even in the you know subsequent quarters to come that you're going to start seeing it. In the financial side of things, if companies just didn't get that production, didn't get those licenses, they may not be around for the long term.
All right, Jen Skerritt, thank you so much. Agriculture reporter, Bloomberg News, Winnipeg, Manitoba. And, of course, states in Illinois may not be too far behind in the recreational use of marijuana.
WBBM News Time, 12:25, an update on Wall Street. Let's get the latest now from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the Dow higher by 401 points, more than 1.5% gain, and we are at 25,653. The NASDAQ is soaring 2.33% right now, up 171 points, back above 7,600, and the S&P on the advance by 45. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg gaining almost 1.5%. Now let's turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Corn and beans lower today. Corn's been down as much as 4.75. We're down 4 at the moment at 3.74 1/4 in December. Beans have been down 12.25. They're down 10 still in November at 8.81.5. Wheat's been two-sided at the moment, up 0.5 in December at 5.25.5. Corn and beans lower, wheat higher. This is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon, I'm Cisco Cotto.
Good afternoon, I'm Lisa Fielding in for Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are gaining ground. We'll see what's inspiring Wall Street.
In Travel Tuesday, Americans are getting larger, but airline seats are shrinking in size.
Walmart is partnering with Advance Auto Parts to create an online specialty store.
Governor Rauner and challenger J.B. Pritzker release information about their 2017 taxes.
The Saudi consul to Istanbul has reportedly left for Saudi Arabia hours after Turkey said his residence would be searched. This is in connection with a journalist's disappearance.
WBBM Business, the Dow up 416 now. S&P up by 47. NASDAQ ahead at 172.
Beautiful sunshine throughout your day as we're heading to a high of 55 degrees. Right now, 47 O'Hare and Midway and 50 along the lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Markets are flying high today. Let's talk about it with Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management, also a Fox News business contributor based in Orlando. Gary, after a rough week last week, is this an expected rebound? What do you make of this?
Oh, I don't ever think you expect a 430-point and 175-point NASDAQ day, but I think what you simply have here is the Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, and NASDAQ 100, the four indices that have held up the best, went down to areas they held three times this year, and the big boys, the institutional crowd, said enough's enough. So I think the last 3 days, the lows are in for now. We'll reevaluate as we move forward, but I'm pretty darn sure that they put in the floor here. And now we have earnings season. You'll have some good ones, some bad ones, and we'll see what flushes out of there.
Yeah, you say some good ones and bad ones. In general, do you expect this to be a decent earnings season?
Yeah, I think earnings are going to be strong, but you never know what the reactions are going to be. W.W. Grainger is down $42 today, and they beat estimates. J.P. Morgan had good numbers, and the stock's essentially flat. Same with Bank America. So, you know, for me, there's a certain rule of earnings. It's not the news. It's how things react to the news, because sometimes you'll get perceived good numbers and the stock goes down, and sometimes perceived bad numbers and the stock goes up. So hopefully we see a lot of United Health, which is in the Dow, that's up $10 today, and not a lot of those WW Grangers.
Looks like stocks could head for the best day today since, what, April or so?
Yeah, and I do not think they're going to take it back down. It looks broad-based to me. And, you know, everybody wants to have reasons. I just think we went down too far too fast, and the institutional crowd said enough.
I know a lot of people invest in Netflix. They've got some news coming out next week, or today, right?
Netflix after the close today, their numbers are expecting to be good. The question is what they have to say about guidance going forward on subscribership, and none of us know that yet. The stock's been under pressure here for the last couple of months, especially off the last quarter's earnings. And again, the jury's still out till after the market closes.
Speaking of Netflix, so we had this major swings back and forth with tech stocks. Do you think that's warranted? What do you advise, especially for some of these FANG stocks that have just been flying high for a while?
Well, I think Facebook is basically a done stock as far as leadership is concerned. Maybe it can rally up on earnings, but I think they probably hit the wall. I think the same thing for Twitter. Apple and Amazon, Apple's still strong. Amazon's a little less strong. So I think it's a matter of picking and choosing. And I'm sure they'll have to come up with new acronyms going forward if a Facebook goes by the wayside.
Let's talk about marijuana stocks. We were talking about how tomorrow's a big day for Canada for recreational use, and how really that business is really just going gangbusters.
Well, let me give a warning shot to all your listeners. The favored name, something called Tilray, T-L-R-Y, they have $25 million in sales with a $15 billion market cap. I think those numbers speak for themselves. There's no way this stock in the long run stays up at these levels, and more than likely heads a lot lower. Just remember, it's a fad right now. Marijuana, it's going to be legalized, but it's jury's still out on how much money anybody's going to be able to be made, because if everybody's producing it, prices are going to come down and margins are going to be squeezed. So be very careful and very much care about valuations, because some of them are insane.
Is that one of the in fact, we talked with a reporter on the pot industry earlier in the show, like the dot-com bust. I mean, could this be something where people just hurry to get in and they don't necessarily pick companies that are going to be in it for the long haul?
It's exactly what's going on. All people are doing are hoping to buy it and sell it at a higher price to somebody else at any valuation. Let me repeat that, by the way. Tilray has a $15 billion with a B market cap. They only have $25 million in sales, and they lose a bunch of money. So if you want to buy a company for $15 billion that has $25 million in sales, good luck. That's as simple as that.
So be wary, do your research, right? And don't knee-jerk decision.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about bond rates, Gary, because I've been interested in following this. You have people trying to get mortgages. They're more expensive now. But also, on the other hand, we are hearing more about pension funds and how they're actually liking these increased yields because they're able to say that their pensions are more fully funded. I guess there's winners and losers when those yields go up.
Well, winners are savers. The savers have been screwed by the central bank for 8-9 years by keeping rates at 0%. Winners right now with rates going up, you can get bonds cheaper with a higher yield. Losers are anybody who borrows. Simple as that. But keep in mind, rates are still very low historically, even though they're pretty much off the lows. And leave no doubt, the cost of capital, cost of everything has gone up. When you combine that with energy prices, you got a little nice little 1-2 punch here. And it's something that has to be watched very closely, because energy and interest rates are the defining force by as far as expenses for businesses as well as the consumer, and both have gone the wrong way. So that's going to play out in the next few months, and I'm interested to see if we get a lot of negative guidance from companies because of that.
Gary, just a quick and sort of general thoughts on Sears. We obviously talked about it a lot yesterday. Chairman Eddie Lampert today saying we need material progress if we're going to avoid liquidation. What do you make of Sears?
I said 3 to 5 years ago, Sears and Kmart will be gone. You cannot ignore your retail stores and think that you were going to win. The management of the companies ignored the stores, turned them into the dilapidated, shelves empty, lack of service, you name it, they did it. And this is the outcome of it. And it's a shame because tens of thousands of jobs are going to be lost. And, you know, it's just a matter of when you're running companies, you better run them well, especially in retail or bye-bye.
All right, Gary, thanks so much. Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Mack Capital Management and Fox News business contributor out of Orlando, Florida.
His website, GaryK.com. Up next, Travel Tuesday, trying to find a solution to the problem of bigger airline passengers and smaller airline seats.
Making sense of your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday here on the Noon Business Hour. Today we're looking at the increasing squeeze faced by airline passengers. Joe Schwederman is joining us, professor of public services, director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University. Joe, I guess the data just speaks for itself here that we're getting bigger on average as the seats are getting smaller on average, and so the airlines have to figure out how to respond.
Yes, and add to that, airplanes are getting fuller. You know, we're setting records on what's called load factor, the percentage of seats filled. So you put all those together, and it's a pretty Wild West environment on some of the airplanes right now.
So what are some of the airlines doing? I mean, they're not necessarily, at least from what I've heard, making seats bigger, are they? How are they responding?
Well, they are trying to sell you more leg room. You buy Economy Plus and others on United, you get more leg room. That doesn't solve, in most airplanes, the seat width problem, and seat widths have also shrunk, you know, about an inch and a half in the last 20 years or so. And we're getting bigger. You know, the average person's 15 to 16 pounds heavier now. And that's just meant more and more cases where the flight crew have to intervene with the problem. And airlines are really clear about what they can do. You know, if you can't sit in the seatbelt, they can provide an extender. If you can't fit between the armrests, that's sort of the main criteria, you have to buy a second seat. But, boy, that leads to some stressful moments.
Yeah, I'm a tall person, and I always have to get an aisle seat because my knees always tend to be, you know, in my face. So I've noticed definitely the inches that are lost there and things like that. Now, what could folks do? I mean, I don't know. We've got etiquette when it comes to seat recliners, armrests, all that kind of stuff. What can you do to make maybe your flight a little more comfortable, you know, with the airline still doing this to passengers?
Yeah, no doubt. And, of course, airlines are trying to sell aisle seats now, so that may be a wise investment for people who don't want to pay the amount to sit in business class or economy plus. There's also just a push, you know, if you fly in the late evening, for example, airline flights are usually only about half full, so you can spread out a little bit more, and that's one way. I've found that when I fly, avoiding regional jets, you know, the little planes that are 80 seats or less, that those are really sardine cans. You've got a lot of carry-ons. It's just can be a pretty miserable experience. So planning ahead a bit. You also know your rights. Your rights aren't that great. The person next to you, if they sit between the armrests, you don't have the right to get a refund. But you can, you know, politely ask, and often they'll try to reseat you. That's the low-key method.
What about this item that you can buy called, what is it called, a seat recline blocker? I've seen that, and I can't believe that they allow that.
Well, most airlines have banned the, it's a device you can put to prevent the person in front of you from reclining their seats, and it seemed ingenious, but understandably, airlines don't like people taking matters in their own hands. However, there is a device they're selling now that allows you to put a plastic divider on the armrest, which sort of delineates between your space and your neighbor's space. And, you know, there's a little ledge that prevents the person's elbow from going over the going over to your space. That's a little pushy to pull something like that out, but airlines at the moment are allowing that, but it's brand new.
Wow. Thanks, Joe. Thanks a lot. Joe Schwederman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University.
Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, Walmart makes a major online move into auto parts.
An economy of words.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Walmart and Advance Auto Parts are teaming up to create a specialty store at Walmart.com. Let's look at what's behind the partnership with Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide, and he's joining us live today from the Walmart Analyst Meeting in Bentonville, Arkansas. Jan, give us kind of the details on this. Why is Walmart teaming up with Advance, and what's this website going to look like?
Well, they're trying to put in websites that look like the store, right? So they want to present it like you would see it if you were going to Advance Auto Parts. So this is a good thing for Advance because it gives them much wider viewing from people who might be buying auto products. It adds to the assortment for Walmart because Walmart already has 2,500 tire, battery, and lube shops in their stores, and they already have auto parts in the store. But this is a much bigger assortment than what Walmart carries, and it's better distribution for Advance. It's not big news, but it's one more case where Walmart has said, we're going to put somebody else on our website. They're not going to be, therefore, as big a player on Amazon's website for something like auto parts. And suddenly there's this marriage that's sort of made in heaven as Walmart tries to continue to grow its online business to be more competitive with Amazon, and other people try to get more visibility and don't actually have to hook up with Amazon, which is something that a lot of retailers would prefer not to do.
You know, I used to go to Sears a lot for my auto needs, but do you think that something like this will pick up a lot of maybe what they used to have for these kind of customers?
I think that may be part of the impetus behind this agreement between the two of them. No one said that here, but clearly we're all thinking what happens to toys, what happens to things like auto, tire, lube, and battery, what happens to other parts of things that are Sears like appliances. Well, this is one of those areas where there will be some pickup in market share by somebody. And Walmart's the best position to get that along with somebody like Advance Auto Parts. So this is a good thing for both of them. And you'll see a lot more deals like this coming out of Walmart. You know, they've signed up everybody from Lord & Taylor now to Advance Auto Parts. And this is just the beginning of what they'll do as they put more and more stores on their website.
Yeah, really creating almost like an online mall experience without all of the money to maintain it. Thanks, Jan. Always appreciate you being on the show. Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide. Bloomberg checks the markets on a day Wall Street is surging. That's next.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Time for business news. Sponsored by Grandview Homes. Let's go live to Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
So we are seeing our biggest gains of the day. The Dow is soaring 454 points higher. That's a gain of almost 2%. The benchmark pushing above 25,700. The NASDAQ composite higher by 177 points, a gain of about 2.3%. And the composites above 7,600. S&P higher by 50 or almost 2%. And now moving also above a milestone, moving above 2,800. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg up almost 1.5%. Well, this is the IPO that Wall Street and Silicon Valley cannot wait for. According to the Wall Street Journal, Uber has received proposals that value the ride-hailing service at up to $120 billion in a public offering. That's nearly double Uber's valuation from just 2 months ago. Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley reportedly delivered the proposals last month. Crude futures are higher today, up 0.5% to $72.09 a barrel. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.